Hey everyone, thanks for being here for the She Leads Her Life podcast. I'm so excited, you guys, to share with you this interview that I had with Mary Lauren Birdshaw. But I just wanted to give you a heads up. We are talking everything faith and Christianity and getting in the Word and how the Word can truly transform our lives. But I just wanted to let you all know, whatever you believe, you are welcome here. Now let's get started. Life. I'm your host, Jenna Schneider. You guys, I am so excited to have Mary Lauren Birdshaw on today. I actually heard her on another podcast that I'll have her tell you about, but I was actually visiting my mom and dad on vacation, and I was walking and I was listening to this podcast, and I thought to myself, who is this girl? Like, the way that her heart is on fire for the Lord is incredible, and I cannot wait for you all to meet her. So please welcome Mary Lauren to the show, and I will let her introduce herself to all of you. Thank you for being here, Mary Lauren.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for having me. That was quite the intro. I was so excited when I got a direct message from Miss Jenna. I was telling her right before this that the way the Lord has used this entire year, but specifically the podcast with Miss Carrie, just to connect me with people that I didn't know before, the way he's just been faithful to use that. I think the coolest part is this, you know, getting to like make connections from people like across the country, all in the name of the Lord. But yes, I'm so happy to be here. My name is Mary Lauren. Last May graduated from Auburn. And was just in a season of being still and kind of honestly just waiting on the Lord in faith for a job, for a way to be used in ministry, for just direction. Mm-hmm. My head was kind of spinning senior year with things I wanted to do, including like, well, it doesn't matter, but I'm like, we're kind of on a time crunch. So I'm like, Lord, help me choose the words that you want me to say. Because I know you and I could talk for hours.
We could. And you know what? I was just thinking, I'm like, well, maybe we'll do a part one and then maybe we'll do a part two, because we have so much to kind of rich topics to go over today. And
that sounds like what we should do.
I agree. So this can kind of just be like the intro, and then we'll have a full deep dive one as well.
Perfect. But
what I loved, so I heard Mary Lauren on the Girl Mom podcast, and what really drew me to what she was saying was kind of this, it sounded like the Holy Spirit was just so ingrained in who you were, and like the way that you incorporate scripture in just how you're talking about your day-to-day life. And I'm just curious, like, what does it look like for you, Mary Lauren, on your faith walk? Do you study the Word a lot? Like, what does that look like to you? Because I was just amazed at the amount of scripture that you were able to relate to, just, you know, the common conversations that you had.
Wow, that's really cool that you see that. Honestly, my whole life, ever since I was little, people would tell me, oh, she's a talker. Oh, she loves to talk. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just super chatty and had a lot to say when I was little. And whenever I started taking the Lord seriously in eighth grade, I feel like one of the first things he taught me was the power of words. And, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. It's what he says in Proverbs. In Ephesians 4, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for the building up of others according to their needs, that it'll benefit those who listen. And James 3 is talking about taming the tongue. There's just so much scripture about the power of our words. And then more than that, talking about the Word, that it's alive, it's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, able to divide between joint and marrow, soul and spirit. I used to read that, and I felt like the Lord was just connecting these dots in my heart and my brain of like, if you're going to be a talker, you may as well let as many of your words as possible be mine, coming from the Lord. And so that was just a conviction deep in my heart, starting in eighth grade and still today. I do study the Word for sure. I also use it as my weapon. You know, if I'm struggling with anxious thoughts, I take a verse. One example is Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, if I was struggling with insecurity, just reading Psalm 139, that I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. His works are wonderful. I know it full well. There's just literally a verse for everything. I think it's cool. The older I get, the more I realize there is nothing the Word of God doesn't incorporate, and it has everything we need for life and godliness. But as I got older, I started realizing it isn't the letter of the law, but the spirit behind it that gives life. Mm-hmm. And the reason why scripture says that the word is living is because it's connected to a person who is the word, who is still alive. And that's why John 1 starts with, in the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was with God. In the beginning was the word. And him was life, and that life is the light of all mankind. It talks about how Jesus is the word made flesh. And so it made sense to me in one of the parables when the Pharisees are just reciting scripture and Jesus rebukes them because he's like, you think that in these words you find life, but these scriptures point to me. It's like the word connects to the person, like who is the word. And so it what helped me too is just to start praying every morning in my quiet time or when I'm reading the word, just to say, just to pray, Holy Spirit, will you reveal to me Jesus? Like, will you reveal your son to me in these pages? And when I pray that, it's just crazy, like the connections I start seeing. And I used to think the Old Testament was just this big, irrelevant, boring history lesson, basically. And now it's like, I feel like the Holy Spirit has been revealing to me how it points to Jesus. All of it does. So that helped.
That is just so beautiful. And the way, you know what I hear in your voice, Mary Lauren, when you talk about scripture and the word and whatnot, it's just this like clarity that you have. And that is just such a gift the Lord has given you to be able to clearly state his word and recite his word in those different situations. And that just makes me so, I mean, we are just getting to know each other, but that makes me so excited for you because that is such a gift that not many people have been given. They can study the word, but to be able to like pull those out in real life situations is such a beautiful painting of like God's love for you and the gifts that he's given you. Mm-hmm. You know, I have two girls. One is soon to be 13 and a 10
no way.
Old. Yeah. Yeah. So this is how I was, Mary Lauren was on Carrie's podcast called the Girl Mom Podcast. One of my favorite podcasts. I've read Carrie's books. So I have two daughters and, you know, my oldest Eliana, as she's going to become a teenager here in September, I would love to hear words of wisdom or advice. Like if you were to have a conversation with your 13-year-old self, what advice would you give her?
Mm. That's a great question. The first thing I just thought of is the truth that everything hidden will be revealed. Mm. I think it's easy to forget that truth when we live in a world that worships being seen and showing yourself off and like it's all about you and like look at me and like to be seen equals to be loved in our world and like to have people looking at you means favor and whatever. And also we believe a lie that, you know, sometimes living for the flesh is what reaps the most reward, but that is just such a lie. Because first of all, it's in the secret place that we find the Lord, and it's in the secret place that Jesus grew in intimacy, that he engaged with the Father, and we are to do the same. And I think it's cool too that, you know, you can sin in secret, you can make bad decisions, you can talk bad about people behind their back, but everything hidden will be revealed at some point. Like the Lord has a way of just bringing things to the light. And so if I can encourage my 13-year-old self, it would be practicing holiness and purity and secret, you know, just with your words, with your decisions, with the way you spend time with the Lord, because that's what gets revealed through the course of your entire life. And like you can sin, you can make bad decisions, but don't believe the lie that it will stay hidden, because every single thing hidden will be revealed.
Mm. I love that so much. And you know, I'm definitely in an older generation than you, Mary Lauren. And like, you're in like the in-between generation between me and my girls, right?
Yeah.
And so they are growing up in a culture of comparison with social media and all these different outlets. In our household, they are actually allowed a Gab phone. And a Gab phone is something that they can text like grandma and grandpa. They can text their friends, but they are allowed no social media. And that has been like a really hard thing to navigate because especially Eliana's friends, a lot of them have social media. And so just having those conversations of that is just not allowed in our house. No judgment on others, but that's just a decision we have made for our family. How was it growing up for you, like trying to navigate those waters of social media?
Yeah, that's another great question. Luckily, I think that whole wave of social media and Instagram and Snapchat kind of hit my friend group and I in eighth grade and ninth grade, towards the end of middle school, early high school. And by that point, it was like the Lord had already kind of gripped my heart. Thank the Lord that happened. Like I had already tasted and seen that he was worth it. And I look back on that and I am like, that was 1000% grace. Because I already knew where my identity came from. Like I was already rooted in the fact that the Lord chose me and I'm his and he loves me and set me apart and sent his son to die on the cross for my sin. And he counts me holy and precious in his sight. And there was like a confidence found there and also a deep humility that like at the same time, I'm not my own. Like everything I have has been given to me. I've been bought with a price. It was like, I already had that truth rooted in my heart so that when, you know, social media came up and everyone's like posting pictures of themselves, comparing, like worshiping likes and comments, I already knew that like people's praise didn't stick as much because I already had the praise from literally the one who created me, and nothing is more satisfying or pleasurable or affirming than that kind of affirmation from your Father in heaven. But at the same time, like people's criticism didn't bother me as much either because I'm like, I already know what the Lord says about me. So I think it's really important just to know what the Lord says about you and to find satisfaction in him before you like get older and experience situations and relationships, because if you don't, those situations and relationships and the criticism and the hard seasons and the insults, you'll let those define who you are and you'll try to find satisfaction in people and being on certain teams or getting certain things you want, and you will be disappointed.
That's such good advice. You know, looking back to, let's go back to like a foundation of faith, right? So you have this 12-year-old girl who's really starting to like get into her faith a little bit more, starting to maybe read the Bible a little bit. Some of the readings don't really make sense. I remember being in that space too, where you sit and read and you're like, I don't know what it means, right?
Yeah.
And so how does one get from that space to like growing their faith?
I love that. I remember those times too. And honestly, still, this is something we're all going to be praying through and working towards. I've just had to learn there's literally no arrival point of being perfectly satisfied by God. Like we're all going to need to grow in this area until the day we're with him face to face. But I just thought about Psalm 103 that says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your sin, heals your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with mercy and compassion, and who satisfies your desires with good things. And that verse was kind of life-changing for me because we hear so much about how Jesus forgave your sins. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. He died so you could live the life he's calling you to live with him forever. Like I would hear, which is, I mean, amen. Like, let's not discount that reality.
I'm thinking you're like nodding my head right now.
Well, I'm like, do not mishear me when I say that is more than everything we could ever desire, is that reality of Christ crucified and us getting to have life in him. But the cool thing about the Lord is that he doesn't just stop there. Like, he could have stopped there, and that would have been great. But he says that he also redeemed our life from the pit, which, like, praise the Lord. He redeems our life from the pit, from the muck and mire, from the pit of sin, which separates us from God, which leads to death. Like, that, too, is amazing. But then there's more. It's like he also heals our diseases. Like, he just wants us to be he wants to heal us, you know, if not perfectly on earth, then one day in heaven fully. But then he doesn't stop there. He crowns us with mercy and compassion. And this is the point I'm trying to get to for lack of tons of time, but he satisfies our desires with good things. And I used to wrestle with that because I was like, Lord, I believe you. I know that you're good. I know that you're real. I know that I'm supposed to be in love with you, but like, I want you like, and all these other things, like, I want to know you and I want to enjoy freedom and get to do what I want and enjoy my whatever in high school and college and middle school. Mm-hmm. But then I realized in Galatians 5:1 says it's actually for freedom that he set you free. Like, he set us free for freedom. And then mm-hmm. like, I would be like, Lord, I do want to seek you wholeheartedly, but like, I also have these desires for like attention from guys and like to be popular mm-hmm. and like to make the certain mm-hmm. team and like mm-hmm. and I'm like, how do I deal with that? And I think it was just mind-blowing when I when he spoke to me saying like, I actually want to satisfy those desires too, because so many people want to just like, they feel shame or guilt for like having desires, you know? And I'm like, hold on, the Lord literally puts desires on our heart. Psalm 37:4 says that when we delight in the Lord, he gives us the desire of our heart. And I think that's a two-way verse because, like, yes, he does put desires on our heart that he wants to satisfy, like, on earth for maybe, like, a husband or, like, a good job or whatever. But also, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, we realize he is the number one desire of our heart. Like, our hearts were created for him. Like, I've heard it said, I forgot who came up with this quote, but you can look it up, that our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus is the only person who can satisfy all the way, but then like, he wants to satisfy our other desires too. So
that's
huge for me.
You know, I'm just having a moment of, I wrote down like the word joy, right? How many times does he use the word joyful in mm-hmm. like, he wants us to be full of joy so that we can give praise and acknowledge that it all comes from him, right? It all goes back to him, and he wants us to be in a space that we are so full of joy.
Yes.
It talks about people looking to you and seeing light and not darkness, right?
Yes.
And your light on others and how important
that
is and how much he wants that for us.
Well, Andy literally says, Psalm 16:11, fullness of joy is found in your presence, eternal pleasure forevermore. Like, we all want that joy and we want that satisfaction. And we forget that, like, we can only find fullness of it in his presence. Like, we can experience little tastes and glimpses of joy and, you know, sweet moments in this life. But like, ultimately, fullness of joy can only be found with him. And I think that one of the biggest lies the enemy wants to tell the world is that the Lord wants to like take away from your life, that he wants to like deprive you of good things. But then I read Psalm 34 and it says, well, the lion's maker are weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And more than that, John 10:10 says it's the enemy who came to steal and kill and destroy, but Christ came so we might have life and life to the full. So it's just such a lie that following the Lord will miss out on good things.
Amen to all of that. Okay. We absolutely have to do a part two.
Yes.
Like, such beautiful words in just this short time together. But I'm just so excited for my audience to hear you. And really, the Lord put it on my heart to just be like, you need to reach out to this girl and just use whatever platform you have. And she needs to be heard. And so I am just like stating it now, like, you are going to do big things, girlfriend. And like, I'm just excited to have like a tiny little sliver to watch you on your journey, because I can just feel the gifts God has given you. And I know you're going to use them, and we've just met, so that might be a little awkward, but you know what? We're just going to go with it. Thank you for being here today. And we absolutely will have you on again. Where can our audience members find you, Mary Lauren?
They can find me on Instagram, Mary Lauren 777, They can find me. Honestly, I think that's the only place.
Yeah.
That's I'm like getting ready to like send my address. I'm like, maybe not the address.
I really just want to speak this into you, Mary Lauren. I really see you like talking and preaching and like lifting up young girls and even like moms and young girls. Mm-hmm. You have a gift for it and it's needed. It is so needed in the world that we live today. So thank you for sharing your heart. And this is just going to be part one. Wow. I've already decided.
Wow. Well, thank you, Jenna. And thank you, Lord. I wasn't expecting to leave here so affirmed. I'm literally sitting here smiling so big. I wish you could see my face.
Oh, well, like, so good chatting with you, Mary Lauren. And we will talk soon. And thank you to everyone listening on She Leads Her Life. You can find more at JennaSchneiderCoaching.com. Thanks again, Mary Lauren.
Yay. Thank you.